26 before now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's John Harper. Glenn Leverance will be praying for you and taking your prayer requests later on in this half hour of Morning Air. But right now, we are hopeful that you're waking up and you are feeling happy. What is the difference between happiness and joy? There are differences, and there are ways that you can cultivate joy to go with your happiness. Jim Otremba is going to help us with that. He's a licensed therapist in Minnesota, and he's working on his doctorate in psychology. He and his wife Maureen bring their personal and professional teachings to thousands of Catholics every year through the United States with their workshops, and we're blessed to have him as a member of our morning family. Jim, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
Let's do that delineation between happiness and joy.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great conversation to have. Happiness is obviously very important, and it's kind of, we're in a saturated society that talks a lot about happiness, you know, and even the discipline that I love of psychology has studied happiness for decades, actually. But joy, I think joy is much deeper than happiness. I think joy fundamentally is a decision and a mindset. It's a decision to cultivate the fruit of joy, because that's what we read in Galatians, that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. See, so it's something given to us at baptism and again renewed in confirmation. So we all have joy. And I think joy is much deeper than happiness. Typically, we don't feel happy until external things are going fine or kind of in order. But we can decide to feel joy or rejoice in the Lord always, as Philippians 4:4 tells us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And so we have, you know, so many saints' lives that are just phenomenal, filled with a lot of suffering, but a lot of joy of the people who knew them. And yet I've even worked with people in my life that, you know, I know should, according to the world standards, should not be quote-unquote joyful or quote-unquote happy, but they are. I mean, one person in particular, I remember, was in a horrible accident, a head-on collision with a vehicle, and they were driving a motorcycle. And, you know, went through horrible surgeries and can walk now, but is with a limp, but thanks the Lord that they can walk, you know, and is very joyful, very, very joyful person. And I look at these people and think, wow, I want to cultivate it in my life as well. How do you do that? You know, I mean, that's an incredible thing, an incredible gift that they give us.
Are we missing joy and happiness because the culture put such a definition on happiness that we're seeking the cultural definition of happiness, so we miss both?
I think so. I completely think so, because we want to all try to be quote unquote happy. You know, I think everybody wants that. You know, and not that I'm not saying I don't think the church says happiness is a bad thing. Okay,
no,
I don't.
No.
Not at all. I don't think so at all. It's just that I think joy is a deeper reality. Joy is understanding everything in the context of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, and sin of the Holy Spirit. I mean, really, that's, if you shake it down, the Paschal mystery is the source of our joy, knowing that whatever I go through, God can use for the good. And that, man, I mean, if that doesn't shift the mindset, then nothing can, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if that doesn't change your mindset as far as saying, wow, I can participate in Christ's life, death, and resurrection at every Eucharist, for example, that's amazing right there. That's incredible. You know, and then when we can live that Eucharist out, and that brings us great joy.
Every Mass, that foretaste of heaven, as we speak with Jim Otremba today, talking about four ways that you can cultivate joy. What would be the first point to cultivate joy?
Well, I think the first thing is to start with prayer. You know, I mean, really, pray to Abba, our Heavenly Father, our provider, our protector, our daddy. I mean, when I pray, I love to use the word Abba. And when I studied in Jerusalem, I lived in Jerusalem for 5 months when I was working on my MDiv, I just love the word Abba. It's translated daddy, you know. So our daddy loves us and desires really that we nurture joy. So pray for it. I mean, pray for it and recognize this important fact. When I'm working especially with people with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, or people with severe anxiety, or even people with depression, people who have been abused. I mean, I've worked with all those kind of cases since 1996 as a licensed therapist. And when I work with those folks, and when the time is right, I do like to let them know that all of us are born with joy. You know, we're really born with it. And researchers now on personality theories all the researchers agree with that. It depends on which research you read as far as how many core emotions we're born with, but joy is one of them with all the research. So I will remind people that this is something that actually every human has at birth is joy. And then it is given that's naturally, of course. And then supernaturally, we have joy from our baptism. And people love to hear that, because if the wounds or hurts in our life happened, you know, in our family of origin or happened at a very young age, I do remind people when the time is right, therapeutically, of course, when they're able to hear it, that those wounds or those sins that other people caused in your life, the abuse, that does not rob your joy. It doesn't necessarily, you know, take your joy. Now, of course, it's horrible and it's difficult to work through. I'm not denying that. Nobody would deny that. Mm-hmm. But I like to remind people that you still have that joy there, and they really like to hear that, because that's a message based on hope. You know, we all need hope.
Jim Otrembo with us this morning on Morning Air. He's a licensed independent clinical social worker in Minnesota and a member of our Morning Family. And today we're talking about four ways you can cultivate joy. And Jim has drawn that contrast between joy and happiness. And we want to know how you do that as well at 888-914-9149. How you tap into that supernatural gift from our baptism, that joy in your life. 888-914-9149. Donna's in Arcadia, California this morning. Donna, what about joy for you? Welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning. Yes, my interpretation of joy is accepting God's will even through suffering. When we're suffering, we're not happy at the time, and yet if we have a trust in God, we have joy in it, knowing that God is in control, it's God's will, and we accept it and offer that suffering to Him.
Amen, sister. You know, I just love what you said, Dawn, trusting in God, because God is in control and we are not. I mean, that is so very, very important to remember that. Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Donna, for that call. And Jim, there's a popular evangelist, Protestant evangelist, that talks a lot about not letting people steal your joy. Is that something we kind of almost need to guard against, to hang on to our joy in a more, like we're trying to do that, not just let it accidentally fall out of our pocket?
Oh, absolutely, Glenn. I think that's really important, because in our kind of toxic society that we're in, and again, I want to overemphasize that, but it's relatively toxic, I think. Not only physically or biologically, but spiritually it's toxic. And so, we want to be intentional. That's why this first step is to pray about not letting our joy get robbed away, like Dawn reminded us in California, to recognize that we need to trust in God, because trusting in God can help us to increase our joy. When we're able to focus on, again, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the sin of His Holy Spirit. So, yeah, I totally agree with that, Glenn. We want to make sure that nobody robs our joy, especially toxic interactions, toxic society dynamics, whatever we're going through.
Which suggests that we should hang around with joyful people, right, Jim?
Amen, brother. Exactly, John. I really think that's so important. I mean, one of the things that I like to focus on is, the body of Christ. And I love the whole theology of the body of Christ, and we see that in a lot of places scripturally. But 1 Corinthians 12, for example, Paul has this beautiful conversation of the body of Christ and how each one of us are different. We can learn from each other, of course. We learn deep lessons from each other, as we're just talking about that scripturally, the last half hour. And so learning from a joyful person is critically important. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I could use some more joy in my life, so, okay, I'm gonna say a prayer intentionally now to God about, cultivating joy. But also, a second thing you can do is think about in your life today, think about who is joyful in your life. Who do you see as a joyful person, that you know personally? Not somebody, not somebody that you don't know personally, but you have a personal relationship with this person. And then maybe write their name down, or just think about that person. What do they do? Think about their habits. Learn from them, because they're doing something in their life, if it's authentic joy, they're doing something that can help all of us learn about that. And the saints are great examples there, for to learn from people who are joyful.
Jim, is comparison one of the main destroyers of joy when we maybe have plenty ourselves, materially and otherwise, and then look to someone else?
Boy, Glenn, that's a really good point. I don't know if it's the main destroyer, but I think it's probably up there, right? In the, you know, probably the top four, I guess. I've never thought of that before, but yes, negative comparisons with us to anybody else can really destroy joy. Yeah, and the reason I say negative is because psychologically, you know, we do have some tools that we need to compare others with educationally to see where people are at, kind of on a standard, you know, spectrum when we're working with disabilities. But yes, negative comparisons, I think, can definitely be one of those instruments that can rob joy, and we want to rebuke that. So if you're in that category that kind of falls into the trap of comparing, you know, what we don't have, rebuke that right now, today, in the name of Jesus. Just say, you know, Jesus, in your name I rebuke that. Help me to be thankful and grateful for what I do have, and to focus on that, because that also can increase joy. As we focus on gratitude in our lives, joy will surface. When we're grateful, joy will surface.
And one of the things that I found in terms of just managing happiness and joy is to walk away from social media.
Yeah. Amen to that, John. You know, yeah, it can get kind of toxic. And now, of course, you know, the church teaches, you know, it can be a tool, obviously, to build
sure,
the kingdom. And that's,
sure,
that's how you use it, right?
But absolutely, when you click on that Facebook link and you just get this cascade of negative, you know, it's just like, oh, enough already. Wait a minute. Stop
enough
this.
Enough already.
That's right. You know,
exactly.
My free will lets me shut that off and know where the real joy is. Let me go get that and be fed that way.
Amen. That's right. And I think that's so good to talk about that. You know, again, to be able to, today is Friday, you know, and to every Friday is a day of penance of some sort, you know, to fast from something, whether it's meat or whether to pray a little bit extra, to thank God for Jesus's, in particular, his, you know, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Jesus went through horrific pain on a Friday, Good Friday. And so today, maybe fast a little bit from media.
Mm-hmm.
And you will notice, it doesn't take long. It really doesn't take long. When we fast from some toxic media, boy, it doesn't take long when we start feeling a little better about ourselves, you know, and about the world. Because it will feed us a lot of negativity. Why? Because negativity sells. And the marketers know that.
Yeah. Jim Otremba joining us this morning on Morning Air, a licensed independent clinical social worker based in Minnesota. And today we're talking about the four ways that you can cultivate joy. And how do you do that in your life? We're sharing your stories on the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Also, when you see somebody, and we probably all know someone who's always in a good mood, has that happiness, has that joy, is certainly focused in their faith, ask them questions, how they did that.
I love that. Absolutely. And, you know, kind of have a short little interview.
You
sure. know, how do you remain so joyful? And when I asked that one person I worked with, for example, the one I referenced earlier in the horrible accident, who should have died
mm-hmm.
during that accident, you know, their immediate response was Jesus. You know, I mean, they're a very faithful Catholic, and it's about the Holy Spirit for them. And so I love that, John, to be able to ask the person that you see at church who is really always in a good mood, you know, and it's very attractive too, isn't it? Joyful is very attractive. The reason why the Holy Spirit blesses us with supernatural joy, even though we've got it naturally, okay, at birth, and when we're baptized, is because the Lord desires, you know, to continue to build up the kingdom. Right? The
right.
kingdom of God. And joy is attractive. And so when we're joyful, people will say, why are you so joyful? I mean, things are hard right now. Why are you so joyful? Well, I've got hope based on my Lord Jesus. You know, I mean, and, you know, you can say that. I mean, all right, that's okay to say that. It's
mm-hmm.
good to say that. Yeah.
We're attracted to the light, obviously, of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
there. And we're also attracted, you've noticed that you're attractive to someone who is laughing. If someone has laughed
yeah.
out loud, especially among your circle of friends, you want to be a part of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Especially when, obviously, when it's a positive laughter, correct?
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
I mean, yeah, because there is a negative, sarcastic laughter.
Absolutely.
And we want to challenge that, yeah. But laughter can trigger beautiful, beautiful chemicals in our body called endorphins in the brain.
Right.
And when it's appropriate to laugh out loud, I think is a wonderful way to cultivate joy. And so wonderful, it's a, if you think of it, laughter then is a fruit of the of joy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you think of it, joy is a fruit, okay, right, that the Holy Spirit gives us. But laughter is a fruit of that joy. And it's contagious. And so, you know, in, as a in a family, I've been a part-time stay-at-home dad since 1999, and I absolutely love it. It's wonderful. It can be difficult, as all the part-time parents out there and all the full-time parents know that. And, you know, stay-at-home, I've been a part-time stay-at-home dad, I should say, since 1999. I'm sorry, not a part-time parent. There's no part-time parent. My bad. But a part-time stay-at-home dad.
Sure.
But sometimes our family, what we'll do is we'll watch some old videos, home videos, you know.
Okay.
And they're just so funny, and we sit and laugh, you know, it's wonderful. Or read some old comics, or
yeah.
or watch some good, you know, some good older TV, you know. It's a great way to incorporate laughter in our life.
Indeed. Christine joining us in Waco, Texas at 888-914-9149 with Jim Otremba on ways to cultivate joy in your life. How do you do that in your life, Christine? Good morning.
Well, I just wanted to share an experience that I had when I was working. I worked at the post office counter for 32 years, and I processed passports. While I was waiting on customers, there was a lady and her family, her kids, her husband, and she was going to, they were going to apply for a passport, and she was all in an uproar. I could hear her that, oh, I know we don't have anything. I know we don't have everything we have. And she was just all worried and, you know, wound up because she knew it just wasn't going to happen. She knew it wasn't going to work. And so I said, oh dear, you know, but every day I would pray over my lobby, you know, and say, Lord, you know, let peace enter whoever comes through these doors and let me help them to the best of my ability. You know, I would pray that prayer, you know, and so she came up to my counter and she was like, I know we don't have everything that we need and I know it's not going to work. And I said, okay, so first of all, we're going to calm down. We're going to see what we have and we'll go from there. We're going to start at the beginning. And her husband, so funny, was standing behind her and he looked at me and goes, he mouthed, thank you. Because he was with her and hearing this, you know, but it's just, you know, a matter of, you know, if you have joy and you have calmness, it's going to affect those around you, no matter how they are, you know, you affect them in a positive way.
Oh, amen, sister. Christine, thank you so much for sharing that. That is so awesome. First of all, it's awesome that you prayed over your lobby when you worked in the post office service for 32 years. Thank you for doing that. Thank you. And every one of us listening to Christine here, we want to be doing that. We got to pray over our workspace. That is so important, you know. Second thing is, I totally agree when you said, you know, first calm down, we'll start at the beginning. I mean, what a beautiful way to invite this person to a more calm, peaceful, and joyful experience. Wow, what a beautiful story. Thank you.
Excellent,
the world
Christine.
Would be transformed if we all could do that today. You
absolutely.
That?
not kidding. And it's within our power to do that, and it's easier than you think. And you see how you bring joy into somebody else's life and the effect it has on you. Christine, thank you, and Jim, thank you as well. Jim Otremba is a licensed independent clinical social worker based in Minnesota. He also works as a Catholic lifestyle coach with clergy and laity, and he's got a master's in divinity and finishing that doctorate in psychology, a member of our Morning family. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome, John. God bless you.
Jim Otremba this morning. Time now is 8 before the hour on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, and we're going to do your prayer requests coming up next. This is something brand new here on Morning Air that we do on Friday mornings, taking your prayer requests as all of us here on the radio program go into the Adoration Chapel in a little while, taking your prayer requests before the Eucharist. 888-914-9149. You can call now for those prayer requests at 888-914-9149 as we continue on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.